We are going to take your questions and your phone calls and your stories with Victoria Dunkley, doctor, and Katie Singer, the journalist, as we talk about electromagnetic fields and how they affect all of us. So you're next on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll get to the calls in just a second as they begin to line up for both of you. And Katie, let's talk about the books and Victoria as well, at Electronic Silent Spring. Tell us about that title.
Well, in 1962, Rachel Carson published Silent Spring, which is about the environmental effects of pesticides. We were spraying pesticides and not knowing the harm caused by those chemicals. And Electronic Silent Spring is about what electronics are doing to our environment and our health. And I offer a lot of solutions that people can do privately and then publicly. I'll also say one of the things I'm most excited about is when parents and teachers and other people come together and say, okay, we admit we've got a problem. Let's see what we can do to reduce our exposure to electromagnetic radiation or to reduce our screen time. Let's figure it out. Real cultural change happens in groups of seven. So that's what I vote for, and an electronic silent spring can be a wonderful guide for people.
And Reset Your Child's Brain, Vicki?
So the book contains, as I mentioned earlier, the science behind what happens when kids interact with screens, and it gives lots of stories of a couple dozen case studies of patients, as well as people who've taken my online course and seen results from doing that. And then it lays out the four-week program, and then it also goes into the research about screen time as well.
Katie, do the phone companies, when you buy that phone, have any kind of a disclaimer or warning or anything like that? I know you were talking about how we should put it on labeling like cigarettes, but I mean, do they do anything on their own?
If you read the manual to your cell phone.
Of which nobody does.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say go back and check it out, because typically it will say do not let the, you have to keep the phone at least 3/4 of an inch or 5/8 of an inch, I can't remember what it is, from your head.
Wow. Most people touch the phone to their ear.
Right. They mush it.
They mush it. You're right. So you have to read the fine print, and nobody does that.
And also, if you look at what Apple will say about iPads, for example, you can get headaches from looking at the iPad screen, and they'll warn you about things like that. Read the manual.
You know what's going to be interesting, and tragically, I talked about how my sister died of stage 4 brain cancer, tumor on the left side of her head where she held her phone. It's so early in this field, we don't know directly its effect on children like that, but what happens, Dr. Dunkley and Katie, what happens if in 20 years we start seeing an astronomically high rate of tumors in what was young people now, who then are in their mid-20s or 30s.
Right. We're already seeing an increase in not just brain tumors, but other kinds of cancer as well for children and adults. And I think that's what we're saying is we kind of are already seeing the trend emerge. So why not be cautious about it? Because we know that children are going to have longer exposure times. They're developing. And children who are developing, and also organs that are rapidly changing, such as the brain, take in more radiation. So it's very frightening.
I really like what Dr. Dunkley is saying here, that the opportunity is for us to be cautious. And, you know, why wait for the government or the telecommunications corporations to tell us what we need to do? We can take precautions ourselves. And I'm going to suggest that we begin with pregnancy, and actually even before pregnancy. I get nervous when I see men carrying their phones in their jeans pockets near sperm.
Sterilization rate is going up.
Well, and then what happens when children are conceived and those, you know, sperm and eggs have been exposed? So we all need to start taking precautions, and every little bit does help.
It's a sinister plot to control the world's population. You never know. Let's go to the phones. Richard is in Wisconsin. Richard, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you, George, for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
You always have great topics every night on my ride home from work. Actually, I'm on a cell phone now.
Uh-oh.
And I just wanted to say congratulations. Great show. I can't say enough about the topics. But getting to this radiation type of thing, you know, I know people are able to read manuals and stuff like that, but like myself, I've never really read it. But I was just wondering about this product that is called SAR Shield. It's a size about of a dime that you put on the back of your cell phone, and it's supposed to help or eliminate, I don't know how much percent, and they have documentation from the company that tests, and they've did it with several companies, tested their product. It's a size of a dime. It's a round circle thing. You stick it on the back of your phone. I don't know if any of your...
I've heard of that.
Let me talk a little about that. So SAR stands for specific absorption rate, and that's addressing how much radiation your head will absorb when you have the device beside your head. I've never heard of this shield, and I would be extremely cautious. There was a study done by the Environmental Working Group about 6 months ago, and they had cases for different kinds of iPhones. And in some situations, I was going to say the word cases again, in some cases, the specific absorption rate increases by as much as 70, that's 70%, when you've got a case. So you need somebody with radio frequency meters, and I'm going to also say magnetic field. You want the magnetic fields tested too. You need meters to determine what's going on. And if, you know, somebody's trying to sell you something and say you're going to get protected, be really cautious.
Indeed. And these little meters, is this something that you'd recommend everybody to have?
Yes, and they are not cheap. You can get to measure magnetic fields if you have an old portable analog AM/FM radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a $15 purchase. They're unfortunately harder to get right now because they're making them, they're digital, and they don't work then as magnetic field testers.
We can get you some analogs from our Sea Crane company.
Okay,
that's
for sure. Cool. That's good. Those can test magnetic fields, which that's great. For radio frequency meters, I got a lot of questions about this. I'm going to recommend Safe Living Technologies. It's a Canadian company, and they sell radio frequency meters that are made in Germany from Gigahertz Solutions. So
you walk around your house and get different readings, and then if you're in a room that has a high reading, then you got to figure out where it's coming from, I guess, right?
Exactly. And you can do this in your office and your school and your library and your street.
Are we getting any radiation, Katie, from the electrical wires that are connected to the outlets and plugs?
I have heard that as many as 60% of homes have wiring errors.
Wow.
So, like, neutrals can be paired. That's one common error, you know. And we need the hot paired with the neutrals so that the magnetic fields are canceled, for example. And unfortunately, we don't have a code where electricians are trained to identify errors. They're not walking around houses with meters saying, oh, there's a problem here. Let's fix it. These things can be remedied. That's the good news.
Truck driving in Illinois, James is with us. Hey, James, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, George. Longtime listener. And
thank you.
I just want to say you guys hit one close to my heart here and made my skin crawl. I'm a father of three boys. I'm very proud to say I'm one of the parents that likes to throw their boys out in the world and let their knees get skinned up. But everything that you guys talked about tonight, especially you, Doctor, if you don't mind me asking, what about the family values? George made a comment, you know, the TV ruined the family. My family and I, we sit down every night with no electronics on in the house at dinner. We, you know, we make sure that we do something outside. You know, I get my boys out away from those video games.
Good
now, realistically, I'm not going to, you know, say, no, they don't have cell phones. Of course they do.
Right.
But what are we doing about reiterating the parent to say, hey, make the kid put the phone down. Make the kid put the tablet down. You don't need to live on Facebook. So.
Well, I think some families are able to manage some screen time, and some children are able to handle some screen time. But some of the children I see, the parents give them very limited amounts, and they're still having difficulties. And a lot of those parents don't use much themselves either, so it's not even like they're being a bad role model. So, I mean, I think it does vary quite a bit, and the more vulnerabilities the child has, the more sensitive they're going to be. But I always say, you know, the child needs to be not showing any signs of dysregulation, so they need to be able to manage their moods. They need to be getting their homework done, performing academically where they need to be. They need to be well-rested. They need to not be overweight, and they need to have friends and not be throwing, you know, temper tantrums that are out of proportion to their developmental stage. And they need to be doing sports and things like that.
Just like we used to do.
If all of those things are met, you know, and they're doing a little bit of video games here and there, well then, you know, that's far be it from me to judge that. I think, especially with boys, you do have to be careful with the addiction component or them just becoming overly dependent on it. So you always want to watch for that. If those kind of behaviors start to creep in, then you want to cut back. And you also want to ask the kids if they're concerned about parent screen time.
I wonder if you can, and James, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. And drive carefully. It's truck driving in Illinois. As a parent, do you think you can, I guess you can do anything, but do you think you can, Katie, go to your child and say, okay, now you're going to bed. Give me the cell phone. You can take it to school in the morning. I don't want it in your room. I don't want you fidgeting around with it in your bed. Give me your phone. Can you do that, or, you know, does the kid go ballistic?
Well, we all know the answer. With many children, it's not, you know, they're not going to give it up. I don't think it means that the child is a bad child. It doesn't mean that the parent is a bad parent.
Well, of course not.
If it doesn't happen. But so the question is, what do we do when we get to that situation where the child is addicted to the device and can't give it up? And that's where I think Dr. Dunkley's program, you know, where she's saying you got to go that electronic fast route, that's so interesting. The other thing that, you know, I report, and my paper is available on my website. It's called Calming Behavior in Children with Autism and ADHD, and the website is electronicsilentspring.com. And there's a pediatrician who offered this protocol of turning the Wi-Fi off for 12 hours at night, then not letting the child within 8 feet of a device, and also turning the electricity off to the bedroom from the breaker box while the child is sleeping. And we had one family, for example, they had two boys, both diagnosed with autism as toddlers. They eliminated all their wireless tech. The boys are now teenagers, and neither has autism.
Wow.
So we know that
wow.
People can come out of this, and it does take drastic changes in behavior. And, you know, like when people hear about Dr. Dunkley's program, they'll say, whoa, that is way too drastic. These are complementary programs. And, you know, what I've heard Dr. Dunkley say is, Well, you know, what's worse, the next meltdown or trying this program?
Well, that's true. And doctor, is it an addiction, the use of the phone?
It absolutely can be. But some children who aren't addicted still have problems. So certainly if they are exhibiting signs of addiction, both you can have both psychological addiction and a physical addiction, then certainly that child's going to have problems.
Mm-hmm.
But even children who aren't addicted per se can still have problems. And I have to say what Katie was just mentioning about the autism thing, there's another group who's doing an autism intervention with no screen time. And they have about 8 cases now of early intervention autism cases where they've also reversed the autism. And their theory is a little bit different from mine. And their theory is that it's really the eye contact, not only that the child's staring at a screen, but also that the mother is, you know, when they're breastfeeding, they're not looking at the child's, you know, they're not making eye contact with the child anymore. They're looking at their phone. Or when the TV is on, you know, there are lots of studies show that the parent doesn't interact with the child as much and they don't have as much conversation with the child. So their theory is really based on the eye contact and the conversation piece or lack of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, between the radiation and the screen time, particularly with autism, which can be, you know, so heartbreaking and debilitating and expensive, and a lifelong illness. You know,
of course,
look at these interventions, they may seem extreme, but compared to the alternative, it's like certainly worth trying. Even if you don't reverse it completely, if you can cut the symptoms in half, that's huge.
That sure is. Let's go to Pat in Minneapolis. We'll get you in before the break, Pat. Go ahead.
Besides the great advice I got from a scientist, I have 2 quick questions, and if there's a chance, a great anecdote about a casting director, shocking anecdote about a casting director, top casting director at Warner Brothers. But the good advice I got was I was all upset when I heard how dangerous cell phones are, and I was worried about my cordless house phone, but the scientist told me that not to worry because the signal travels such a short distance from the base to the house phone, I don't have to worry about that one. But he said the cell phones are very dangerous, and Bluetooth is not a help, but the earbuds on a wire, they're great. You put the cell phone on the car seat beside you if you pull over to use it.
Yep.
Or if you use a speakerphone, try to put it somewhere on a table or something away from you. And women are a great advantage because we carry a purse. But men at least can put it in a jacket pocket instead of in their shirt pocket
mm-hmm.
or in their
mm-hmm.
jeans pocket. And then the question I have is, I don't know what a router is, and one of the guests mentioned a router. Second quick question, I got a stone from the back of a book that said it could help neutralize or eliminate somehow the negative electronic type energies. Is that a bunch of baloney?
I've heard that you got to be very careful about those, but a router, of course, is a device that sends out a wireless signal from your computer. It's a wireless router, and it beams the signal to all the computers in your house that might be capable of downloading, including now your flat-screen television when you have a little apparatus to pick up that signal as well. We're not going to have time for your anecdote about the casting director. We're going to come back and take more calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Gerald Celente joins us next hour as we talk about some trends for the months and the year ahead. With us this hour, though, is Dr. Victoria Dunkley and Katie Singer. We are talking about what happens when you get bombarded by electromagnetic fields. And would you say, doctor, that children are easily susceptible to this as opposed to an adult? Or can we both get bombarded at the same time?
Well, certainly children are going to be more sensitive. So the younger the child, they're going to be more sensitive both to screens and to electromagnetic fields or the radiation from the fields.
What if we wore like Faraday cage hats or things like that? As ridiculous as it would look.
I mean, I think, you know, some of these cages or protection shields and things like that, as Katie was mentioning, they may actually make the waves or the fields bounce around more and magnify them. So I think the, you know, really the best way is to eliminate as many sources as we can. And also to get, you know, things like deep sleep might be protective, things like eating right, exercising, even magnesium and vitamin D, things like that might be protective.
Do you specialize with children, or do you work with anybody?
I specialize in children, but I see about half kids and half adults.
Okay. And have you noticed a marked increase in stress levels of people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody I see is stressed out.
Can we pinpoint what's going on?
I just think everyone's exhausted. You know, we're all way more busy than we should be. You know, no one gets good sleep. We have way too many activities going on. We're checking our devices all the time. So there's really no downtime. And that's how we heal and rest.
No, there's no downtime. And then when you do have downtime, you see these tragedies that occur worldwide or these threats that could come home. And I think that's got people on edge too, don't you think, Victoria?
Yes, absolutely.
And Katie, as far as you're concerned, as a medical journalist, what trends are you seeing? And I'm sure some of these trends aren't good.
Well, I'm gonna go back to the trends I like. I'm gonna change your question a little bit and just say, I think people are starting to get informed. Most people do walk around questioning, is this cell phone really okay for me? Is having Wi-Fi on all the time really okay? If I'm addicted to this video game, is that really a good thing? What can I do? And as soon as that question shows up, that's when the good news is there. Because once you start asking, what can I do, that's when you can start taking action. And before, I just wanted to respond to something that the previous caller said. The cordless telephones are actually very dangerous. It's like having your own private cell tower in your house. That's what the base station is.
Uh-huh.
And so I disagree with the scientists that told her that they're safe. Those cordless phones are not good. You want a corded, wired telephone, a landline telephone.
But those are old phones.
So is having dinner together and having eye contact and for, you know, mothers and babies to look at each other.
Eye contact?
The eye.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, it's an antique, and I believe in it.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Candy is in Vancouver on the international line. Hi, Candy. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for this topic.
You're welcome.
It, and I'm not alone. Thank you. It's nice to see that. I'm in a unique position. I've never used a computer once in my life. I don't know how to turn them on. Can't stand them. Never used a cell phone. And own a health food store, so I honestly come by this. But I also train police dogs. And in my police dog training, I have to recognize subtleties. I have to observe. It's for tracking lost people. It could possibly be a life or death scenario. And I have to use my senses. And I am convinced that computers are training people like dogs. We are getting the reward, which is the answer. We're coming by it by the least common denominator method so that everyone can do it. And then through repetition, it gets instilled in the brain. And then automatically our brain picks it up. So the next time we just do it automatically. And every time I see people on cell phones or on computers, I'm thinking, you're being trained like a dog.
So, Katie, want to react to that? That's kind of neat. Thanks, Candy.
Yeah, well, it would be what Candy's talking about is the dopamine effect is actually activated by the frequencies that are required to operate these devices. So you get a text message, and your brain goes, ooh, I like that. I want another one. And you're in the loop.
Back and forth, back and forth.
And what the brain scans and other imaging studies show is that within 6 weeks of gaming, people's brain starts to change in terms of their dopamine receptors, the parts of the brain that lights up. And what we see is that the reward pathways actually get worn out, and then they become desensitized. So people need more and more stimulation. And over time, that actually creates brain damage. So the certain parts of the gray matter in the brain start shrinking, and then the white matter becomes less connected. So there's kind of holes in the brain, and it's not as well connected.
Somebody told me recently that autism is actually overstimulation. That's what it is. And if we electrify stimulation, then we're electrifying stimulation. And we all need this basic eye-to-eye contact, contact with the dirt. I'm also thinking, mm-hmm. George, you're noticing you heard Christmas music this morning.
Yeah.
If people can go away from giving electronics for Christmas, and I was trying to think of, okay, what could be non-electronic things? I was thinking cookbooks could be fabulous and just encourage people to cook. Another thing would be to get a compost going, and there's even a way to compost if you're in an apartment building. We want people having, hands in dirt kinds of activities, not electrifying our experiences.
Absolutely. And I would also like to add in the book, in Reset Your Child's Brain, there's a whole section there's a chapter on preparing for the fast, and I list all sorts of old school activities and games that we used to do when we were kids that are inexpensive, and we may, a lot of parents may have them lying around still, but there's activities for, individual play, for play with other, with the siblings or friends, and then family activities. So we really need to just think about kind of what we did when we were growing up and just replicate that. And I agree with Katie, and there's actually quite a bit of research on what green time does. So green time actually restores attention. It promotes easy focus. So it helps people focus, but it also restores attention by lowering stress levels.
You know, when we were younger, going back to our days as kids, we would play a lot of sports. We'd play a lot of games, board games, not electronic, mm-hmm. but board games with the actual cardboard. And, we kept busy.
Exactly.
We did all kinds of things. And, I used to remember in the summertime, I would be outside by 9 o'clock in the morning. And, other than coming back for lunch, I wouldn't come back until 6 or 7 o'clock at night. We were always busy and out, and we didn't have electronics. We didn't have anything other than a black and white television set.
Yeah, and that's how creativity is born. And God forbid, did we say we were bored, because your mother would certainly give you something to do.
Never bored. Never bored. I just wish I had my old baseball cards still. They would have been worth a fortune. And I had comic books from the 1950s. They're gone.
I'm going to vote that you get your kids to make comic books.
Tell me about that. What do you mean?
That's a great idea.
Well, let them make their own comics about,
about life, right?
About life, or about my crazy mother who's saying that I need to go on an electronic fast or turn the Wi-Fi off at night so that I can't text message through the night. Go ahead and make comic books about what you're really going through.
Let's go to Auburn, Washington. Vera's with us, west of the Rockies. Hello there, Vera. Go ahead. Are you with us? Uh-oh. She's on hold, and we'll have to let her go. We're on a delay, and so she's listening off her radio, and she's now coming back to her phone, but we're gone. Okay, Rob in Fontana, California, your turn, sir. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey,
I have an interesting question. My son was, when he was young, like 2 years old, we kind of figured out he had ADD, ADHD, OCD, all that stuff. So he had a psychologist, a children's psychologist, and we introduced him to color because at first he couldn't pay attention to anything at all. And so the psychologist worked with me over the years, and we introduced him to computers, and he got really into that, and we got him into reading, of course, a good diet, and then we introduced him to martial arts. So we did all of this so that he didn't end up with, you know, medications or anything like that, because I'm adamantly opposed to that. Today, my son is 16 years old. He's got a 4.0 GPA in high school. He's a junior.
Beautiful.
He takes all AP honors. He's a martial arts instructor. He's got he's a second degree black belt in one and third degree in another. And, you know, he likes to cook and all that stuff. But, and there is a but, I believe that he has an addiction with computers. So my question would be, you know, it's like I tell my wife, you know, he's not out with his buddies doing things where we don't know where he is. He's 16 years old, and I know where he's at all the time, and he's got his friends, you know, but I do know that he loves his computers. He writes software, things like that, but, you know, I don't know what. Now I've gotten kind of freaked out because I've been listening to you guys all night, and I'm trying to figure out what should I do. Should I try to take him away from it or what?
Let's get the doctor involved here, Dr. Dunkley. Let's talk about specifically the computer. Is it dangerous as a standalone unit?
Well, I think, you know, we can't just look at it as a standalone thing. I think it every case has to really get to look at everything in context. But I would say for a case, you know, obviously I can't comment about your child per se, but let's just say a child with these circumstances. If a child at 16 is exhibiting addictive symptoms now, they're certainly going to continue. They generally don't get better unless the environment changes. So, I mean, it sounds like your child has a lot of strengths and is involved with things like martial arts and those kind of things. But what I see with kids like this is when you do take the thing, when you do something like a fast, it automatically sets them up so they are forced to become interested in other things, or at least do more of the other things that they don't normally do. And they become less dependent on the tech stuff to, you know, to entertain themselves. It doesn't mean that he can't be a software programmer or something in the future, but by protecting him now, you will be doing him a favor, you know, not just for his brain now, but for the long run as well. And it's not to punish him, you know, it's just to, you know, we do know that once those addiction circuits start to get laid down and be reinforced, that they just become more and more reinforced. So they say, you know, what gets fired gets wired. So when you interrupt those addiction circuits, you're helping them from becoming too strong.
That's a good point. And how much of this is common sense, too, Doctor? Just being aware of so much that's out there.
Right. I definitely think that's true. And I think sometimes parents wonder if their child's addicted. Well, generally, if they're wondering, they are addicted, and they're kind of seeing it. And a lot of parents do say what this caller has just said, that, well, at least we know they're home and they're not doing drugs and they're not getting in, you know, committing crimes.
And that's a great comfort for a parent.
So I think they kind of place this kind of addiction on a different level or less harmful. But really, because screens are so pervasive in our lives, it actually can impact us a lot more ways that kind of creep up on you.
Let's go to Dolores in Hamburg, New York. Hi, Dolores. Thanks for holding and good morning to you.
Good morning. Quick point, Scrabble game.
Yeah.
Play Scrabble in English and translate it to a different language as you get the words.
Most people can barely spell it in English.
I know. Okay, there were a number of questions I had. In terms of schools and offices, because the children are doing it, people are working in offices with the computers and these phones that are, and the headsets, and is there any radiation retention in the closed areas, which is actually in the offices and in the schools? And then we've got cell towers, high voltage power lines, smart meters? What about the new light bulbs? What about the digital radios that we have next to our bed, plus those phones that are the, not the base, but the other part? And is there something that we actually can do to give us dangerous versus safe levels? How do we know the actual element of, okay, this gives off too much, this gives off too much, in terms of the radio frequencies? And are there different frequencies in terms of the electromagnetic waves and the radio frequency waves? Are there different type of waves?
Okay, let's see. Katie or Victoria, with about a minute left, do the best you can with that.
Go ahead, Katie.
Okay, I'm just really excited that you're asking the questions. That is step one. And I'm going to recommend my book, An Electronic Silent Spring, to answer the bulk of your questions. Every device that you mentioned does emit electromagnetic radiation. And you can start by unplugging things tonight. You want to unplug everything in your bedroom while you sleep to give yourself the cleanest environment possible. That's one start.
Now, let's get out the books again, both books, An Electronic Silent Spring and Reset Your Child's Brain. Where can we get them, Katie?
Mine is available on my website, electronicsilentspring.com.
Okay, and yours, Victoria?
Mine is also, my book is resetyourchildsbrain.com, and there's resetyourchildsbrain.com website that also has information about screens in school, and then drdunkley.com. Also has the kind of the quick and dirty version of the book as a free email course.
Okay, great. To both of you, thank you. Great information, and if just one person takes heed, I think it's going to help a lot of people. Up next, Gerald Celente joins us. Trends, we're going to talk about ISIS, then we're going to talk about what the Federal Reserve is up to, and so much more on Coast to Coast AM.